Yes, welcome back into it, everybody, to another edition of the Jungle Show. Today we are here to talk more Auburn basketball, just like we are after every single game. Just want to remind y'all that this episode and this show and episode is sponsored by NordVPN. Staying safe online is an ever-growing difficulty, and you could be exploited to hackers. NordVPN allows you to change your IP address, making you harder to track, securing your privacy, and more. NordVPN is giving Auburn Daily listeners and readers a special deal, so check out the link below in the episode description today. We are here to talk about Auburn's tough loss on the road in Knoxville to the number 2 ranked Tennessee Volunteers. By a score of 46-43, an offensive struggle game, to say the least, I guess. But I really struggle for the shooting. For not just Auburn, but for Tennessee as well. And we're here to talk about the stats and kind of the storylines of that game. And, you know, we'll get into a discussion about the final play here in a little bit. But to do that, I brought in my dad and co-host again. Dad, this was a tough loss, because I think we deserved to have a chance to win, and we had every chance in the world to run away with this game.
You know, we started off early and started off really well. Had three or four possessions where we scored back-to-back-to-back-to-back, and I was like, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah,
I had seen some score predictions on Twitter of 80-74 and stuff like that, and I was like, if Auburn scores 80 points against Tennessee,
we're going to win.
We're going to go a long ways.
Yeah.
But I didn't expect it to be as bad offensively. And let's go back. Was it really all bad offensively? Yes, there was some bad offense, but there was some really good defense played by both teams.
That's right. Yeah, you're definitely right. And Tennessee defense is the number one ranked in the country statistically right now. So it's we knew coming into this game that there was going to be a challenge for Auburn, and we knew that coming off of the second half against West Virginia last Saturday and then the Georgia game on Wednesday, Auburn has a chance to get some momentum offensively and build on that and going into this Tennessee game. And we just saw absolutely none of it. No. Absolutely none of it outside of the first few possessions. Just like you mentioned, there was no rhythm to this offense whatsoever or to any offense at all. And the biggest reason why was this outside shooting. Auburn goes 3 of 27 from 3 in this game, to combat with Tennessee's 2 of 21, which is also horrendous.
It's just awful.
It's just
two of those threes that we made, by the way, were Wendell from the logo. I mean, literally from the logo.
Yeah.
And then Flanagan had one, but
and then Wendell made last.
Two long three pointers. The one in the first half, he was literally standing on the orange Tennessee logo in the middle of the floor.
Yeah.
And just said, oh, well, here we go. And it went in. And I was like, wow, okay. And then he had to take that one down 6 and took it and made it from the timeline. So those were two nice shots. But other than that,
a struggle, a major struggle. Cool. So just like you mentioned, Wendell made 2 of his 9. Jalen Williams went 0 of 4. Jani went 0 of 1. Zepp went 0 of 1. Allen made 1, went 1 of 6. KD went 0 of 3. And then Trey Donaldson, Chris Moore, and Yoan Trehor each went 0 of 1 as well. The only guy who entered the game who did not attempt a 3 was probably one of the better 3-point shooters in general, is Leor Berman. He went he did not attempt a 3, attempted a shot, but it did not go in. It was just – it felt like there was a lid on the rim at all times in this game. And that's not just saying it was from 3, and that's not just saying it was from Auburn. It was from both teams as well.
And I think we were running some good stuff. A lot of those 3-pointers were open.
Yeah, same with Tennessee's looks.
KD had 2 where he looked down at his feet and got his feet set and shot them and missed both of them.
Yeah.
They're not bad. They're not bad shots. We're running stuff and getting open looks. Bruce Pearl's doing everything he can to give kids a chance to make open shots. We start the game off by going inside to Jalen He knocks down a shot.
Yeah.
He doesn't make another shot the rest of the game.
Yeah.
He's the guy that we depend on to, hey, we got it to you on the post. Do that little hook or push and make it. And every time he got it down there in the second half, I went, there's 2 points. Well, yeah. Maybe not.
Yeah.
You
it's hard. It's hard to watch.
I just don't understand it.
It's hard to figure out as well. But yeah, on the other side of this, you know, we talked about how Tennessee defense was ranked number one in the country statistically. It's the exact same way for Auburn on the other side. Allowing this Tennessee team to just shoot 9% from three and to shoot and only get 46 points. And without Josiah Jordan-James having a really good second half,
he had a great game.
They don't win this game. Auburn wins this game scoring 43 points, which is crazy. Think about that. But so you do have to – the biggest plus from this game, because you didn't win, there's no moral victories. You didn't shoot well. You didn't play any good offense. But the best plus and the best building block from this game is Auburn's defense looked the best it has been all year long. And absolutely. You can build on
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
You can build on that.
The scout was from Stephen. He had the scout. He always does the scout for Tennessee. That's mm-hmm. that's their thing. And he I think he talked to his buddy, Todd, what's his name at Florida, Golden. And Golden said, make him miss 3-pointers. Well, we did. The guards played out of their mind on defense. All of our guards. Those guys, look, Vescovi and their point guard,
Zakai Ziegler,
can shoot. They fill it up. They're not a great offensive team, but we made them look pedestrian on the offense on our defensive end. So yes, our defense, that gives me some hope for the rest of the year. That maybe our defense is that good. It gives me a lot of hope going into the Tuesday's game or Wednesday's game against A&M.
Yeah.
We've got to stop their guards.
Yeah.
And go from there. And then against Alabama, look, they shoot threes. That's what they do. We have to just – and we talked about it in the last show. I said Tennessee wins all their – has undefeated when they shoot better than 30% from three. When they shoot less than 30%, they were 4-4. They're now 5-4.
Yeah.
Because we didn't shoot.
No. Yeah, you're right. So I said earlier the only building block for Auburn in this game should be the defense. I think I was too early to say that. I think the only other building block outside of that is you finally starting to see production and the confidence from KD that we've saw all of last year in these past two games. He has 23 points in his past two games coming off the bench. He had 13 against Georgia, should have had more. He had some unnecessary calls and had 10 in this game. Yes, he only goes 2-for-6 and 0-for-3 from three. But he got to the free throw line. He was attacking the basket. He looked mm-hmm. aggressive. He was playing great on the defensive end. So I think that's your next building block, because we've been talking about the bench production has really, really been lacking since Allen's been thrust into the starting lineup. KD needs to step up and be that true six man.
Okay. I agree. KD looked a lot better. I'm starting to wonder if –
KD should be in the starting
lineup. Why Zepp is out there? I love Zepp Jasper. Let's clarify this. I think he's fantastic on the defensive end, but we're not even getting. He's not even scratching the stat sheet. He went 0-1 and didn't do anything else on the offensive end.
Yeah,
0-1. He's a good shooter, but and he was in at the end. Why? Why not have KD or Don or Trey in there? I'd love to see a shift with Wynn and Trey together. put Wynn at the two. Let him be the shooting guard. Let Trey handle the ball. I don't know. The two guard slot, last year it was the three that killed us. This year we're not getting any production out of two. Thank God KD's starting to step it up. Maybe he's earning some starter minutes.
But that's another thing that we pointed out with the whole Allen and Chris Moore thing. You thrust KD into that starting spot. So now you've got – now that would be Wendell, KD, Allen, Jalen, and Janai. Now your bench would look like Trey's and Zepp at the backcourt and Chris Moore, Johan, and Dylan Carwell on the five. That is a complete offensive to defensive shift that I don't think that's – I don't think that's going to work from the bench production wise, because we've got to have bench production, especially as we get into the meat of this February and March schedule, which you'll see this Tennessee team again in Neville, the last game of the year.
Yes, we will.
So, Tennessee, but you've got to have bench production. You cannot go to your bench and get absolutely zero, which has been a problem unless Allen or KD is playing well off the bench. Those are the only two guys that have really proven that they can really play well off the bench. But now Allen's in the starting lineup. I don't know if you just thrust KD in there.
I get your point. I really do. We've got to get – that's a shooting guard. The two spot is a shooting guard. They're supposed to shoot. Our shooting guard, starting SEC two guard. Yeah. Shooting guard went 0-for-1 and didn't touch the stat sheet except two personal fouls. It's not like he had 10 steals. He's very good defensively, but he is giving us zip in that two slot. And that's an important scoring slot that we need. That's why I agree with you. Maybe start Trey and win Trey at one and win at two. See if you can get some production, because Trey will give you production at the one. He'll score.
I think so too.
And when I think if he's off the ball, may be able to shoot better. I don't know. I look, the next game I coach in college will be my first.
Yeah.
And Bruce has forgotten more in the past 20 minutes than I'll ever know. But he's got to be frustrated with the two slot right now.
Yeah.
It's got nothing on it. And to be honest with you, the past few games, the four slot's not giving us much either.
Yeah, no, you're right. I said that's a perfect segue into the next discussion. Jalen Williams was 1 of 10 in this game, 0 of 4 from three, still scores 4 points, has 9 rebounds and 1 assist, 1 block, and 1 steal, and was positive in the plus minus in his 32 minutes. But 1 of 10, if he goes 5 of 10, we blow Tennessee out. Yeah, and 5 of 10, that's not great.
That's Jalen normal Williams for him. Done,
well, Jalen Williams, I would think
better than that.
8 of 10 is normal for Jalen.
Yeah.
Or 7 of 10 is normal for Jalen. Because that's what we've seen the past 3 halves of basketball prior to this Tennessee game. Is that's the Jalen we saw. But we went back to what we saw against Texas A&M in the first half against West Virginia in this game, not only from Jalen, but Wendell and Allen. And it's just you can't get that kind of production and then have to rely on Janai and KD to score, the only ones that scored double digits in this game.
Yeah, look, I spoke too soon. Let me re-say what I was saying earlier. We're getting production from the floor, from the four. Jalen's rebounding the ball. He's blocking shots. He's at least in the stat sheet, unlike our two guard is right now. But Jalen going 1 of 10, and that one being 20 seconds into the game, probably not even that long.
Yeah.
And then going 0 for the rest, except for 2 big free throws. Look, he got fouled, made 2 huge free throws late in the game. But you're right. If he shoots 7 of 10, with a couple of those being threes, which he's been our best 3-point shooter, and he had open looks to yesterday, I think we win that game going away.
Absolutely.
And I hate to waste that good of a defensive effort with that bad of an offensive effort.
Yeah. because you very well should have won this game at the number two team in the country.
And I think, with Jalen, his body language was just bad yesterday.
Yeah.
He started missing. He kind of just slumped. I hate that for him. He is, he's the guy that we're supposed to be able to go to when we're needing a basket. And he just couldn't produce yesterday. Yeah. Hopefully that changes. Hopefully that was an anomaly and wasn't the thing that happens every game, because we're going to need him to produce.
Yeah, if that happens every game, we will not make the tournament.
We will not win very many more games.
That's right. So as we finish this discussion about the Tennessee game, about the struggles that Auburn had offensively, the great outputting that they put out on defense made this Tennessee team, which a very good Tennessee team, struggle to put the ball in the basket in every aspect possible. And the, you know, as many pluses or building blocks that you can put on this game, you've got to put those building blocks on this game. So Auburn lost this game. Let me make that perfectly clear that we are not putting this win on Tennessee. Tennessee didn't win this game. Auburn lost this game.
In my opinion, yes.
But if we have to, especially in basketball, go over why the SEC, why the officials should never change the outcome of a basketball game one more time, I don't know what to do. The final play is what we're going to talk about.
Okay.
That is nowhere near all the things that the officials got wrong in this game. And that is not just saying that it was all wrong for Auburn.
Oh, no.
There was many scenarios where it was like,
we'll take it.
Not the right call, but we'll take it. And yeah. Tennessee fans should be upset too.
And this they are. They talked to me on Twitter all night about it.
Oh, my gosh. But, and this is not the only scenario that any of this has happened, especially this year in the SEC. But it's laughable and comical that foul was not called in the last play.
So we spent a lot of time last year talking about last play of the game. What are we doing? Doesn't look like we have a plan or a hope. Somehow we got Vescovi to miss a free throw. So we had a chance. Brought the ball up. Wynn went to the right, but you could see him set up. This was a set play.
It was great.
We had several guys setting screens at the top.
Yeah.
That when he made the pass out to the left wing and came up and got the ball off that screen from Janai, he planted both feet. He went straight up. And Janai's man, hands were up. They were out a little bit, but they were up. It wasn't his hands that bothered me. It was that he ran right into Wendell chest to chest. He ran over him.
Yeah.
And there's an official. If you watch it in slow motion, the official holds up his hand and then puts it back down. He was going to call a foul and then went, last play of the game. Tennessee's got a chance to be a number one seed in the tournament. SEC needs two number one seeds. I don't know what he was thinking, but it's a foul in every league.
Yeah.
And had it been 5 minutes left to go in the game,
they would have called
it. No doubt it's a foul.
No doubt.
And yes, all you Tennessee fans out there, yes, Wendell flopped on the one earlier. I don't think he really did, but I can see that call. I can see that the flop call being called.
But if you call that flop call, but you also call the one where Katie Johnson hit Vescovi.
Yeah.
It was just the inconsistency and the disparity of between those three plays.
If you put those three plays up side by side by side and put the one where I think Wendell got fouled, but they called him for a flop. Okay. Okay. I think you missed that, but okay. And then you put the one where Vescovi got touched
by KD.
And if you're going to call that a foul, okay, that's a huge point in this game.
Yep.
Tie score, or we're down one, and he gets a four-point play. Yep. So if you're going to call it, you're being a little ticky-tack.
But be consistent.
But then at the end of the game, you don't call the one where the guy just ran slap into Wendell. Yeah. You talk about not giving a guy room to land, or the cylinder rule. I thought there was a cylinder rule where you couldn't be inside the guy's cylinder. And
his lower body was
enough to kiss him.
Yeah, he was. His whole lower body was under Wendell Green.
Yes.
And under where Wendell Green jumped to shoot it, not where Wendell Green landed.
Yeah.
But that makes it even worse, because Wendell then had to spread his legs out to not break his ankles.
Yeah.
And fall straight on his back.
Yeah.
That isn't even about, he did have his hands down to start and put them up as the shot was going up.
Yeah.
And he hit Wendell's arms and hands.
Yeah.
But every scenario, that is a foul. In every game, in every league, in every scenario, that is a foul, no matter if it's the last play of the game, the first play of the game, or the most important play of the game.
Ask Samir Dowdy.
Samir, and we talked about this right after the game, Samir Dowdy is owed an apology for not calling this foul a foul.
Yeah.
Because, I hate bringing up the Final Four game and that up on this podcast, because it hurts me to even talk about. But the Samir Dowdy was a foul.
Mm-hmm.
He fouled Kyle Guy.
Mm-hmm.
That is the definition of a moving under into your space with a foul. He had his hands behind him. Samir did not have his hands up close to him.
Right, he was in his cylinder.
But he was in his cylinder. He was under him. It was unsafe for Kyle Guy. Therefore, it was a foul. I don't understand what was different in this call.
This call was more egregious than Samir's.
100%. Yeah.
This foul was more egregious. It was a foul. It's a foul. It's a foul in Pee Wee basketball. Because you cannot run into the shooter. He wasn't standing still. He was being screened. He was playing
Janai.
Yeah. Janai set the screen on Wendell's guy and got a good solid screen. And he came around from behind Janai to come out to Wendell and ran slap into him. I mean, just ran into it. It's a referee swallowing his whistle at the end of a game. And they do it, and I don't know why they do it. If it's a foul, it's a foul.
So, two things. Number one, let me tell you the reason why that is a foul. Because 10 years ago, it was not.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, in every single league, it is not just, they don't do, because they don't call this in college basketball. They called it with KD. Mm-hmm. They called it with Samir. Let me tell you why that's a foul. Back in the finals, or in the Western Conference finals,
yeah,
in 2015 maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah. It may have been 2015 or 2016
in San Francisco.
Kawhi Leonard was on the Spurs,
yep,
and they were playing against the Warriors in San Francisco. It was a game one or game two.
It was early, yeah.
Kawhi was at the time playing one of the best basketball he's played in his career, and the Spurs were winning at the time. And he had a corner three, and former Warriors center Zaza Pachulia ran up under Kawhi Leonard, and Leonard landed, came straight back down and landed, but landed on Pachulia's foot, rolled his ankle, and Kawhi was out for the rest of the series. So therefore, it made that play unsafe to Leonard. So therefore, they call that a foul to prevent that from now on. And they made that a rule in every single sport, every single league possible in basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been evident. And it has worked. There has not been that many of those injuries that we've seen. Wendell could have gotten hurt.
You were right. We're lucky Wendell didn't put his feet straight back and come straight back down.
Because he would have
broken
his
ankle. He would have broken an ankle. Yeah. I mean, he landed flat on his back. Because the guy ran into him.
Yeah.
But had his feet come straight back down where he left the ground both feet on the ground, straight up. I can't even say that he was moving forward. If anything, he was moving a little bit towards our bench.
Yeah.
And the guy just ran flat into him. And oh, by the way, the shot almost went in. He still almost made that shot. Yeah. It's a hell of a shot, but it's a foul.
Absolutely.
And would he have made all three free throws? Nobody knows.
Nobody knows because he didn't get a chance to. But my second thing, Wendell Green shoots 85% for the line this year, mm-hmm. was just over 80% last year. He's a good free throw shooter. Would he have, again, just like you said, would he have made all three shots? We have no idea. He didn't get to shoot all three shots. He didn't get to shoot one shot. But the former NCAA director of officiating remarked on Twitter last night, I don't understand at that level of play. You're officiating a Tennessee versus Auburn game, which is number a top 25
game.
Top 25 game in the SEC.
18,000 people.
In Thompson Bowling Arena. I don't understand how you missed that call at that level of play. There's no reason they should have missed that. And just like you mentioned, if you watch it in slow motion, he was going to call it.
He was lifting his fist to call the foul and didn't. He was in perfect position. Give the guy
right
credit.
There. He was 2 feet right beside him.
He was right where he's supposed to be, watching what he's supposed to watch. And he lifts his arm and then puts it back down and sprints away from Bruce Pearl. Bruce chased him to about half court and then realized, I need to go back and congratulate Rick Barnes, as hard as that is.
Yeah.
What a piece of crap. Sorry.
Whatever.
But I don't see how officiating in college basketball can be as bad as it is. It's bad all across the country. I mean, watch it.
Every single team has everywhere. Issues with officials right now. There's everywhere. Not just one conference that is worse or is worse than another one. It's just bad all around, and there's missed calls that are changing the outcome of a game over and over and over again. Something has to change.
Are SEC officials bivocational? Do they work? Are they like insurance agents and do this on the side? I think football officials at least used to be. If they are, we need to figure out there's enough money to have officials paid like professionals and absolutely. Get them in here and train them and then hold them accountable when they make mistakes. I'm yep. sure they do. Look, last week the SEC officiating had to send out an apology because they missed a call in the Missouri. Like a game changing call.
Yep.
And they sent out this memo. Whoops. We missed it. Sorry. Y'all have a good day. I'd be shocked if we don't see the exact same thing. Whoops. Sorry, Auburn. We missed that call. Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you did.
It doesn't, nothing you can do to change it.
Nope.
But I'd like to see somebody take responsibility.
And take responsibility. Absolutely. But we will go ahead and wrap this one up. Of course, Auburn will be back in Neville Arena later next week against Texas.
College Station
to play against Texas A&M, a team that you want revenge against, just like you wanted revenge against Georgia. You really want this one against Texas A&M, especially in College Station. Again, the defense has to improve. Guarding Tyrese Radford is going to be important. Got to stop straight line drives, got to shoot better, and just have to get some momentum before a top two team in the country comes Saturday for the College Game Day game to Neville Arena. For the Auburn-Alabama game next Saturday.
We're one of two schools that's had three straight years of College Game Day.
The other one's Duke, by the way.
Yep.
Yeah. Blue blood things.
Yeah.
We'll go ahead and wrap this one up. If you want to find us on Twitter, at Gray Oldenburger, at War Eagle Hoops, just go there or go to that at the Auburn Daily to find all the stuff there or go to auburndaily.com. We'll be back next week to talk about the Texas A&M game. Thank you all. War Eagle.
War Eagle.